am in Christ.
I have the mind of Christ.
I have the attitude of Christ. Do y'all always present that attitude? Ask your spouse. They'll tell you the truth. Okay? Remember what I said. Your behavior, the attitude you portray, does not define who you are as a person. Now, my heart is to grow in the grace and love of God, and then the more I understand who I am and that I have the attitude of Christ, I have the mind of Christ, then I will begin to display it more. That's my heart. So therefore, the purpose of this church is to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and understand who we are. Then our behavior will begin to change supernaturally. Hey, that's a lot better than me hounding, beating you on the head with a stick, saying, stop this, you gotta have the attitude of Christ. Just do it this week. Well, how's that going for you? You may be seated. All right. This is the second message in the series that I've entitled, A Winning Attitude. Last week we talked about the attitude of Caleb, and we were in Numbers chapter 14, and we're going to be there again. And as I think about having the right attitude, I think about the story of little Johnny, who was had gotten in trouble, and he was being disrespectful to his mother and doing some things he shouldn't have done. So she sends him off to his room, and he later comes out, and he said, Mom, I've been thinking a lot about this, and I've actually said a prayer. And, of course, his mother said, well, great. Did you ask God to help you have a better attitude? And he said, no. He said, I asked God to help you put up with me. So I think that you see how the right attitude can help you out in the... I'm glad the kids are back there, don't y'all? Okay. All right. I'll be getting letters and emails from parents saying, please don't teach my kids this stuff. But anyway, last week we looked at the spy with an attitude. Remember, God had promised them that they could go into a new land. The children of Israel, they were wandering. They had just come out of Egypt from bondage, and they were wandering around and so forth, and they had come to the brink or to the border of the promised land that they were about to take. So Moses said, hey, I need one person from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. So that's 12 people. Go in and spy out the land. Well, you know the story. 10 out of the 12 come back and say, we can't do it. They're huge. There's huge walls. There's giants there. We're just like little grasshoppers. And then two of the spies are who? Caleb and who? Joshua. That's right. Two of the spies said, we can do it. Let's go. Well, how did they have that winning attitude? I want you to see on the slide the three major points that we talked about last week. Number one, they knew God's plan. If you want to have a winning attitude, you got to know what God has said, right? Just a thought. You know, Peter, before he died in 2 Peter, he said, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Did you know that knowledge will empower you to action? We've been accused in the Grace Church of saying, yeah, you just preach, teach people who they are, but you got to tell people how to live. No, I don't. It's not my job. Titus 2:11 and 12 says the grace of God teaches you to deny ungodliness and live righteously. It's not my job to tell you what to do every day. That ought to be a good place for an amen. Amen. You that have been raised in church, you've been beaten up and stepped on and put down, and no wonder you live a life that is not victorious in Christ. Isn't that true? My job is to tell you who you are and what's right about you in Jesus Christ. Then you will begin to go out and live out who you are. So they knew God's plan. They now had the action, the power to go out and begin to do and take the land because God had given it to them, and then rest in God's plan. That just means knowing that God's got this thing and it's His job to fight your battle for you. Yes, you're involved and you're doing some things, but you're doing it from a place of rest. You're not fighting for victory. Now listen, you're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from Christ's victory. That's the difference in our life. Now, they had said, no, Lord. So the 10 stirred up the rest of them, and basically the majority of everybody said, we can't do it. Well, I hate to tell you, they were under law at this point. That means that they said, God, treat us based on what we do. Well, that's what God was doing. In Numbers 14:4, it says God was ready to wipe them out. He was tired of their unbelief, their grumbling and complaining. You see, they were under the law. But Moses is a picture of grace here. You know, we always associate the law system with Moses because, you see, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Well, here we see Moses kind of going and saying, hey, Lord, wait a minute, there is some grace in you still, even back in the Old Testament. Moses petitioned the Lord, said, Lord, don't do that to them. Give them a chance. Well, the Lord changed his mind, and now let's pick up in Numbers chapter 14, verse number 20, as we read a few verses here. Then the Lord said, I will pardon them as you have requested. But as surely as I live, as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, not one of these people will ever enter that land. They all have seen my glorious presence, the miracle signs I've performed both in Egypt and in the wilderness, but again and again they have tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. Y'all said, that sounds like my kids. Or my spouse. Oh, I'm sorry, I'll keep reading. Y'all didn't think that was funny. I laugh at my own jokes just in case you want to know. Okay. All right, look at verse 23 and 24. They will never even see the land I swore to give their ancestors. None of those who have treated me with contempt will ever see it. I love this. But my servant Caleb. Hey, when I come to the word Caleb, I want you to say your name out loud. But my servant Carlton. Has a different attitude. Hey, did I not tell you in the beginning, you have the attitude of Christ? You just don't know it. You're just not walking in it sometimes. Say, preacher, I don't even believe in this Jesus. That doesn't change the fact of what Christ has done for you. Just because you're ignoring that he died for you, just because of the fact maybe you don't believe that he died for you, that he loves you, that you are a new creation in Christ, does not change the reality of what has been done. We just want you to believe it and receive it and accept it. You don't have to work to earn it. You don't have to do a thing. Just believe it and walk in it, okay? But my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. Now, this is a promise God has made him. This is going to come back a little bit later. So, now, by the way, my servant Carlton has a different attitude. I hope and pray that you will have the attitude of Christ at your place of employment. My employees, I've got two of them here actually, and just an answer to prayer, my brother Keith, thank God, he was raised in the poo business with me, and for years and years and years, we were out of it for about 15 years. I re-entered about 4 years ago, and the business has grown exponentially, and been praying for God to send me some more good people, and well, here Keith comes along, and so he's now back in the business with me. But I'm thankful for that, Keith, by the way. I want to say it publicly. And Michael, thankful for him and all the other guys and girl. I got a daughter that's helping me run the store as well. But anyway, I'm thankful for them. But I want my attitude to come forth. I want them to say, he has a different attitude. Don't you? Now, I don't always do this, but I do get it right every now and then. I had an employee who had made a mistake one time, and I could have chewed him up and spit him out and made him pay me back what it cost me, but instead I paid him to go and fix the problem and solve the problem. And I said, you know what? That's a picture of grace right there, isn't it? How many times do we blow it over and over and over again? Everybody raise your hand. You have, okay. You blow it over and over and over again, and then God's grace has already wiped that list out that we saw on the song, right? He's already removed that sin as far as the east is from the west. He's already taken away our mistakes. He's already taken our problems. Now we need to present that love to other people, you see. So I don't get it right always, but I got that one right. Say, good job, Carlton. All right, we're going to talk. By the way, verse 30 says that Joshua got to go into the land, and then Caleb, of course, got to go into the land, but they had to wait. So I want to contrast a negative attitude versus a positive attitude. Now, first of all, the consequences of a negative attitude. If you'll see this, we postpone God's best. We postpone God's best. You see, the promised land was promised. It was given, but they didn't get to go in there right then, right? And some of them never got to go in. Bible says that they wandered around for 40 years in the wilderness, and verse 29 says, those 20 years of age and older will not enter the promised land. So only the 19-year-old and younger got to go in the promised land. So Caleb and Joshua had to wait 40 years as well. We'll talk about what their attitude was about that. I'd have been mad, wouldn't y'all? Said, yeah, I've got to wait 40 years now because of you. But you're going to see they kept a winning attitude, I believe, the majority of the time, and I'm going to prove that in just a moment. So one consequence of a negative attitude is we postpone God's best. Number two, the Israelites got what they requested. Now, you might say, where is this coming from? Well, think about it. Remember, they told the Lord back on Mount Sinai when the Ten Commandments were given, they said, Lord, tell us what to do. All your commands and statutes we'll keep. Well, how'd that work out? Basically, they're saying, bless us based on what we do. You see, that is the old covenant system. I thought, in most of my Christian life in church, that the more I did for God, the more God's going to bless me. The more I forgave other people, the more God was going to forgive me. You see, everything was contingent and hinged on the fact of what I did. And I'm telling you, folks, that's a miserable life. Anybody ever got the t-shirt for that? Okay. I'm telling you, that's what I was raised under, and grace has so set me free from that we're not under this old covenant mentality that they were under here. We're under the new covenant of grace, which means that our blessings are not based on what I do. Our blessings are based on what Jesus has already done. And I tell you, we need to understand what He's done. That's what growing in grace is all about. The more I say, wow, there's something else I didn't know. That's who I was in Christ. Now I want to walk in it. That's what growing in grace is all about. It doesn't make me lazy. It doesn't make me want to sin more. It helps me walk in victory. And even when I do sin and blow it, I have the power to get up and quit wallowing in that and move on and understanding that sin has already been dealt with and forgiven apart from me asking for forgiveness. Thank God. Okay. So the Israelites got what they requested. Look at this. Verse 28 and 29. Now tell them this, as this is God speaking to Moses, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. Hey, we'll talk about what they said in a moment. You will all drop dead in the wilderness because you complained against me, every one of you who is 20 years old or older and was included in the registration will die. Folks, they told Moses earlier, what did they say? They said, I wished we were still in Egypt and had died there. Wow. God says here, I'll give them what they want. You see, that's what the old covenant is all about. Remember? Aren't you glad God doesn't give us what we ask for and what we deserve anymore? He gives us what Jesus says we deserve, and we deserve it because Christ took our sins upon Himself, and He now wants to bless us. Now, we can forfeit it, or we can postpone God's blessings. We can walk through life not understanding who we are in Christ. We can walk through life ignoring this grace message, and we're seeing that happen a lot. But that does not change the reality of what Christ has done for us. So I want to keep proclaiming and understanding, first of all, myself. And the more I understand it, I can begin to explain it and teach it to other people that I want to teach you who you are. But they said, I'd just soon stay in Egypt. Why'd you bring us out here to let us die, Lord? Moses heard that over and over again. They basically said, I'm not interested in going into the promised land. Folks, there's people that are hearing this message. And by the way, the promised land, now listen, the promised land, I always thought was about heaven. How many of y'all have heard the song? Canaan land is just inside. Come on. Y'all know that old gospel song. Always, that was always pointing to something that we're going to get. Hey, let me give you a clue. The promised land is not about heaven. The promised land is about the rest in Jesus Christ. And we as Christians are in the promised land right now. We're just sometimes we're putting up walls around us that are this called by the law system of the do's and don'ts. And we're hearing that over and over in our lives. And we're not walking in the midst of the promise that God has given us. That's just my opinion. I believe the promised land is the life of Christ. I believe the promised land is Jesus Christ and the grace of God. But the more we want to walk in the law system, the more we want to walk in the do's and don'ts of the Christian life and stop this and start that, the more we're not benefiting from the grace message and the life of Christ, you see. We present this message, and I'm telling you, it's being persecuted out there. Vicki will tell you, and anybody else that's teaching this, Eddie's gotten some nasty emails I've heard, that clearly they're arguing against this message, and they truly do not understand what is going on. Dear believers, God is presenting the promised land every day. So quit trying to earn what He's already given you. Quit trying to work for your righteousness and your holiness and your forgiveness. Quit asking God to forgive you. I understand when you blow it, you don't pray to be forgiven. You say, God, you've already seen that sin on the cross. You all have already removed it as far as the east is from the west. And get up and move forward. Quit striving to live the Christian life. Rest in what God has done. Now, let's move on. Now, I want to get away from the consequences of a negative attitude, okay? I'm kind of like Zig Ziglar. He said one time, he said, I didn't go into photography. I wanted to. But he said, there's just too many negatives you got to deal with. Now, the young generation won't understand the negatives, right? All right. Let's look at the contentment in a positive attitude. Look at the contentment in a positive attitude. By the way, you'll see in your menu, I allude to this, I worded it a little bit differently, but a negative attitude will always be rooted in the law system. You dig deeper, and you see if I'm not telling you the truth. A negative attitude will always be rooted in the law system. Guess what? A positive attitude is rooted in the life of Christ, or is rooted in grace. I guarantee you, you study it out, and you see if I'm not telling you the truth. How could Caleb and Joshua have contentment? As I stated earlier, I would have been mad as a wet hen. Now you country people will understand. Chickens don't like to be wet and sprayed, okay? Or like trying to drown a cat. You just stick them in the water. They don't like that, okay? They get mad. But Caleb knew that God was in control of his circumstances. Now, was Caleb and Joshua disappointed that they had to wait? I'm sure they were. I'm sure they probably pitched some temper tantrums, but I'm telling you, they didn't stay there. And you say, well, how do you know he didn't stay in a pity party most of that 40-something years and stay puffed up because they didn't get to enter the promised land because of what somebody else had done? I'm glad you asked, and I'm going to answer that question. Do you remember what Moses had promised Caleb? Remember? He said, you will have your land of choice. Moses had told him, he said, you can inherit the land of your choosing. 45 years later now, Caleb was reminding Joshua, so we're going to fast forward to the book of Joshua now. Remember, Moses couldn't go into the promised land. Joshua was the one to lead them in the promised land after their 40 years, after all these old people that was 20 years and older died off, and the young generation got to go in. That's where we're at now. And we're going to pick up reading in Joshua chapter 14. Let's look at verses 7 and 8. This is Caleb speaking to Joshua. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report. But my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. By the way, I want to remind you again, this is under the old covenant, right? This is after the Ten Commandments were given. They were under the old covenant. You're going to notice here the language, I wholeheartedly follow the Lord. That's what I thought that brought God's blessings. When I wholeheartedly follow the Lord, I wholeheartedly obey. I do all my part. Now God's going to do His part. That's exactly what you're seeing here. But it is a slim picture of grace, by the way. Okay? Today, we don't work to be blessed. We work because we are blessed. You know, the book of Galatians says, do you want to see miracles from the Lord through the works of the law or from the hearing of faith? You see, the works of the law is old covenant. When we want to see God do something in America, we want to see God do something in our own lives, then we need to begin to believe it and receive it through Christ. And I'll explain what that means and looks like on a practical level here in just a moment. But let's continue. Verse 9. So that day Moses solemnly promised me, see, he's reminding Joshua, you see, of what Moses had said. The land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land that you and your descendants forever, for because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Now notice how strong he was 45 years later. I love these verses. Verse 10 and 11. Now as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive. This is Caleb still talking. And well as he promised for these 45 years since Moses made this promise. Even while Israel was wandering in the wilderness, today I'm 85 years old. Anybody here 85 or older? Okay. I started to say some of us looked like it. No. No. I didn't point any fingers. I said us. Alright, now look at this. I love this. I am as strong now. You ought to memorize this, by the way, and put it in your words. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. Wow. Now, what's the significance right here? I want to take a quick rabbit trail, just a second, and I'll jump right back on and wrap it up. Many are just speaking and accepting something as we get older. And I'm going to tell you, as I'm 56, I'll be 57. I know y'all thought I was 37, didn't you? many are just fearing the future because you think that you're just going to get weaker and weaker and weaker, more feeble, more feeble, more feeble, and you're going to end up in a nursing home and you're just going to die. I'm telling you, I don't believe that's the right attitude. I tell you what, I think you need to say this. I'm as strong now as I was then. I believe that I can stay healthy and whole because it's given me in Jesus Christ until God takes me home. And I'm just telling you, I'm claiming that for myself. Am I going to get sick along? Sure I am. But what do you do when you get sick? Do you just say, well, I guess this is just as good as it's going to get? And I'll share a few more examples of that in just a moment. But I'm telling you, we need to walk in the promises of God. And we need to say, hey, I'm healthy, I'm whole. That was the winning attitude. The winning attitude of grace will keep you healthy and young a whole lot longer than the works of the law when you trying to say, I guess this is just as good as it gets. You know, I got to work so the Lord will bless me. Oh my goodness, there's no wonder people are getting old. Okay? But when Caleb said, I'm strong and I'm whole as I was 45 years ago, let's go. Hey, I like that. Don't you? Does this sound like he lived a life for 40 years wandering around saying, my goodness, why did they do this to me? And I still don't understand. At least I did my part, Lord. Why don't you let me go on into my family? He didn't do that. If he did, he'd be about half dead, I believe. Don't you? All right. This is the contentment of Christ coming through a winning attitude. Paul was the greatest grace preacher that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, was the preacher of grace. He brought the revelation of grace. I want you to notice what grace produced in him as we jump over to Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. He said, Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content in whatever state I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret. We're going to come back to that. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Folks, he said, I have learned the secret. Do you know what that secret is? That secret is the life of Christ. That secret is the grace of God that sustains you even when you don't see things working out the way you want them to. Even when you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, you see God's grace is still right there. You are in Christ. He has not abandoned you. When you can't see what He's doing, friends, most of the time in my own life, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. Most of the time when I was walking through a financial difficulty, a family difficulty, or whatever the situation was, and I looked around and I thought, how can it ever get any better? And I was trying to orchestrate how God was going to answer my prayer, how God was going to get me out of that situation. Most of the time, God did something totally supernatural that I was not even expecting. And I'm telling you, don't set yourself up for failure for trying to figure out how God's going to take you across that deep valley. You just need to understand that you are content in Jesus, that you keep growing in grace, you get your eyes off of the circumstance, you get them back on Jesus, grow in who you are, understand Him, focus on His love for you, not your love for Him, not what you can do for God. Say, I guess if I just work harder, God will get me out of this. Hey, that is the wrong way. You need to focus on how much He loves you and how much who you are in Him. Then, you see, you'll have a contentment down there in the valley. As you look up at those walls that are huge, and I'm telling you, God's grace will slowly move you out, and He'll open up doors, and He'll take you to the other side. And I've walked through it personally in time and time again, but that's what it means to grow in contentment. Paul said, I've learned to be content. It wasn't instantaneous, was it? It was a process. Hey, I can be content in one situation, turn right around and get in myself, and be discontented in another. So it's a process. But walk in who you are. You see, later on, by the way, another evidence of Caleb's contentment and trust that he was Joshua's right-hand man in leading them into the promised land. You see, Caleb knew the power of speaking to himself what God had said. Now, I cannot overemphasize your words and what you're saying. Now, I want to give you two or three examples. You may feel sick. Maybe you're going through a difficult time. Typically, here's our attitude. We'll say, well, I just feel sick. I guess it's just not God's will to heal me. I'm telling you, those are the wrong attitude. Those are the wrong words to say. Speak what God has said. Say, God, by your stripes I've been healed. You took away all my infirmities. Look up scriptures on healing and what Christ has done and begin to speak it. It doesn't mean you're going to be healed tomorrow. I'm just telling you to keep that attitude, keep speaking the truth apart from how you feel. I'm telling you, this is so powerful. A lack of money comes up. Well, I guess it's just not God's plan. You know, I guess I've just got to do the best I can. And He didn't want to bless everybody like He does Carlton and Larry and some of the others. He didn't want to do that. Is that a positive attitude of Christ? The Bible says that you have everything. Everything that pertains to life and godliness right now. Even though you don't see it, even though you're in a financial struggle, you need to say, thank you, Lord, in advance for what He's doing and how He's going to take care of you. You need a job? Thank Him for that job that's right around the corner. Say, preacher, I've been doing that for 2 weeks and 2 months. I don't care. Keep doing it. And keep trusting Him day by day by day, and I promise you the breakthroughs are there. You got to look for them and believe them. Let me close with three lessons that we've learned from the life of Caleb, and there are way more. Just three. Number one, majority opinion is not an accurate measurement of God's ways. Can I hear an amen? Majority opinion is not an accurate measurement of God's direction and ways. I can tell you time and time again when I was said, why are you doing this? You shouldn't do that. What you going to do for a living? I can't believe you're walking away from that business. I can't believe you're leaving the church that's full-time salary to come and start something and you don't have a clue what you're doing. Y'all ever heard any of those voices? Yes. Caleb and Joshua were outnumbered, but they stood with the Lord. The grace message is outnumbered in this area, I can tell you. I'm going to stand with the Lord and with you and keep preaching it. I don't care if I'm in the majority, okay? If I had to preach to myself, y'all keep doing it, okay? I might do it at home, but I'll keep doing it, okay? Number two, They trust Jesus and walked in contentment. So trust Jesus and walk in contentment. You see, contentment, now this is a powerful statement God gave me. Contentment is a byproduct of trusting Christ. If you're trusting Christ, you're going to have contentment. Think about it. If you're worried about a sickness, you're worried about what I'm going to look like when I get 85, you're worried about how I'm going to pay the bills, you're worried about, you see, we're not trusting. Therefore, contentment is out the window. So let's say, all right, Lord, you know what? Trust is a choice. How many of y'all have ever heard the saying, well, trust is something that somebody's got to earn? You know, trust is earned. I'm telling you, trust is a choice. I've had to do that with some family at times. They've had to do it with me, I'm sure, more than I care to want to talk about. But where we violated somebody's trust, but you've got to choose to trust them or not. And choice is a trust. You can choose to trust Christ. He's not letting you down. You can choose to trust people. They're going to let you down again. But you can choose to trust Christ. He's not going to let you down. Number three, when others are negative, how about let's change the atmosphere? Sometimes you don't need to be listening to it. Now, there's a fine line. I was going to have discussion, but after I decided to ask Vicki to speak, we're not going to have an open time discussion. But one of the discussion questions I was going to ask you was, what is a great way to diffuse a negative conversation without coming across arrogant and without coming across negative and, you know, the Miss Goody Two-Shoes person, you know. Anyway, I think sometimes you can begin to interject, yeah, I understand maybe where that's coming from. However, maybe here's another angle you hadn't thought about, right? I love Zig Ziglar, so since he's an attitude guy, I'll tell you one other quick story. He was up at a counter one time, and I think it was an airline, and this lady, he was watching her, he was back behind, and she was just rude and just not friendly, and every person that came up to her, she's just like, here you go. And he comes up, he's all bubbly and joyful, and he says, don't like your job, do you? No, I can't stand this job. He said, well, don't worry about it. You're probably not going to have it much longer. He said, there's not a company in America that can handle that toxic of an attitude for very long. Well, that ain't what I meant. And then I think this is the same time he finally had, there was nobody behind him. He said, ma'am, is there anything about this job you do like? Nothing I like about this job. He said, well, first of all, do they pay you? Well, yeah. And he said, you don't like to be paid? Well, okay, that's one thing I like. And she said, well, how far is it from your work? She said, well, actually, I'm only 10 minutes from here. And she said, you don't like being fairly close? Okay, two things. And he just kept on and on and on. And do you have any benefits? Said, yeah, I've got health insurance and a retirement plan. And you don't like a health insurance and retirement plan? Okay. And finally, you see, her whole attitude changed. Because, you see, she got out of the old law system. And she got over here in the grace system. And she began to change from the inside out. And now, you see, she began to be thankful for what she had. Instead of always thinking, I got to work for what I got. Oh my goodness, what a story. Alright, the question I want to ask you here in closing is this. Look at it on the screen. If you were to give one word for the key to seeing yourself transform from being negative to positive, what would it be? One word. I'm going to give you just a second. Nobody say it out loud. One word. On the count of three, I want you each to holler that word out. One, two, three.
Focus.
I heard rest. What else did I hear?
Focus.
What else?
Trust.
Love. What?
Favor.
I'm sorry.
Favor.
Did you say favor?
Faithful.
Okay, any others?
Contentment?
All right, what are all of these a byproduct of what you just said? Grace. Grace is not a person. I mean, grace is not a topic. Grace is a person. Jesus. Jesus. Keep focusing on Jesus, the grace of God. My friends, your attitude will begin to change. I've seen it in some people. I've seen it in my own life. And I'm telling you, I want a winning attitude. I want the winning attitude that I already possess in Jesus to come forth. And I'm telling you, keep growing in grace and you'll see it manifested.